Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, today we've got a phenomenal episode. We have Ray Macklem, mortgage broker and past guest, on the show.
That's right. Ray Macklem, fan favorite. Ray's back today. And this is kind of a throwback, right? I mean, he hasn't been on the show for a long time, but we used to do sort of information-heavy episodes, and we've kind of moved away from that. But this moment in the market is such a unique one that we thought it is best to have Ray back to talk about opportunities in the mortgage market currently. And it's a fantastic conversation and a really interesting one.
You know, it's a really, really great episode, and everyone should find it useful for sure, because we're covering people that have variable rates right now, people that have fixed mortgages in place, people considering getting a mortgage at this time or refinancing. And then, of course, people that are also stretched. And one of the things we cover, Matt, is also the mortgage deferral. So lots to unpack in this episode. And Ray does a great job of breaking everything down for us.
I feel like if you're anyone from someone considering a mortgage up to somebody renewing a mortgage or feeling like you're about to go underwater, you're going to get that. I hope there's nobody out there like that. But you're going to take something away from this. And just one little thing to catch your attention here. One client Ray was talking to yesterday, by breaking his mortgage, was going to save 15 grand.
Unbelievable.
So stay tuned. We're going to find out more about that.
Yes, for sure. Matt, but maybe before we cut to our interview with Ray, we also have a great episode coming out, another episode this week on Friday. We've got John Barry, who's a historian. He's also a New York Times best-selling author for his book called The Great Influenza. And we should say, this guy is a great get for our podcast, because he's kind of the authority on the Spanish influenza, and he wrote the book, bestseller.
He wrote the book on the Spanish flu. What can we learn from that outbreak basically 100 years ago? What did it do to the economy? What can we expect? How did it change the culture? All those things are going to be discussed. And to give you a sense of how busy John is these days, when we called him, he was talking to some folks in Brazil about how they should be handling COVID-19.
Yeah.
So, we're bringing you the guys that are in high demand at the moment.
Absolutely, Matt. But Matt, let's not bury the lead. We've got a fantastic show for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Macklem.
Enjoy.
Okay, so everybody's here. New times during the quarantine, but welcome to our guest today, Ray Macklem, mortgage broker / owner for the Mortgage Hub and Dominion Lending Centers. How you doing, Ray?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Good. Did I get your title correct there?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, perfect.
Hey, Ray, you've been on the show before. I would say you're a fan favorite, but can you begin? Fun fact, you went to elementary school with both Adam and myself, but can you tell everyone a little bit about yourself?
Oh, man. Yeah. We do go way back. I wish I didn't have so many concussions and I could tell some fun stories about you guys. But I'm married. I'm a father of three. Been out in Vancouver now for the better part of 22 years and wouldn't dream of going back to Winnipeg.
Yeah. You don't miss the winters, but I miss the outdoor ice.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you know, play a little shinny at Gateway.
Yeah. And Ray, other fun fact, but I just wished you a happy birthday. Your birthday was last month. You're about the only guy I know that was born in a leap year. So this year was like a legit 29th, right?
True story. Yeah. 40th birthday on the 29th. My wife and I went down to celebrate in California, and we got out just before they locked down San Francisco.
Jeez.
Yeah, right.
Well, happy birthday again.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
So maybe we'll start. We wanted to bring you back because we obviously had a conversation with Dustin Woodhouse about a week ago or 2 weeks ago now. But it seems like the world is changing so quickly right now. It's really hard to keep track of what's happening, not only in the market, but what's happening in mortgages. So can we talk maybe a little bit about what's happening with mortgages right now, Ray?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like we have those conversations every day, and Dustin's putting on calls in our industry quite literally every morning across the country. What you saw most recently was the Bank of Canada issuing another emergency 0.5% rate cut, which has since been passed on by all the big banks and all subsequent lenders too. So the prime lending rate for borrowers is down to 2.45% in most cases, say for TD, who's at 2.6. But what you're seeing as a result of the crisis out there is an increasing of those credit spreads and the risk that comes with mortgages and banks these days. So even though we're seeing those prime rates drop, where, say, 2 weeks ago, we had variables at prime minus 1%, now we're seeing variables at prime even or even prime plus 0.2%. So, and fixed rates are going the same way as well. With bond yields as low as they are currently, you know, 3 weeks ago, we had fixed rates at 2.39% on the insured side. Right now, we're at 2.84%. So the risk overall has increased for mortgages. And as a result, those rates have increased to reflect that.
So, Ray, this is almost exactly the opposite, as I understand, of what a lot of people expected, right? I think even Dustin was saying that these rate cuts would be passed on to consumers. But it sounds like what you're saying is the golden days of really, really great rates was about 3 weeks ago, and we've moved into a totally different environment. Or half point different, at least.
Yeah, you know what? If you could see my email inbox with the rate updates that come in, it's daily and it's multiple times a day from various lenders. So what's happened is for existing borrowers with those rate cuts to prime, anybody who's in a variable rate product, you do benefit from that. So you do get the savings by design. So those borrowers who are tied to prime prior to all of this will get that benefit. And you have a lot of people that are paying 2% or less for their mortgages right now, which is amazing. But what has happened on the flip side of that is for new borrowers, yeah, you're not going to get the same benefit. Those golden days are going to take a bit of a break while we go through this pandemic and this crisis and this liquidity issue that is facing the big banks right now.
And Ray, for those who don't understand how variables are offered out to clients, because I think a lot of people just think of it as interest rates set by the Bank of Canada go up or down and you float along. But can you talk about different offerings in relation to prime and kind of spell it out exactly how that works?
Yeah, totally. So with all mortgage rates, you know, there's a component of risk to them. With any investment, there's a component of risk. So with in particular variable right now, effectively the cost of funds for banks has increased, right? So their liquidity has taken a hit. And what that means is banks have various sources that they pull from to lend money. So things like short-term deposits, your bank accounts, your savings accounts, your high-interest savings accounts. And they also have longer-term deposits like GICs and fixed-term investments that they use to lend out. Now, on the short-term deposit side, there's a lot of people that are laid off work right now. There's a lot of people that have taken hits to their income, and they're living off of that savings. So that deposit base is decreasing. So to offset that, to increase that base with the short and long-term investments, they have to increase their returns, right? If you're wanting to invest in a GIC, we're seeing returns as high as 2.5% and 3% right now, which is opposite of what you'd expect. You'd expect those returns to be going down. But because of the perceived risk with banks relative to things like a government bond, which is as safe as it gets, you have to increase those returns to pull that money in. And if you're having to pay more to get that money, you have to increase your mortgage rates to reflect a necessary return for those banks to even operate, right? I mean, they're still responsible to their shareholders and they're still designed and built to generate profits. So as a result of the increased costs on that side, you're seeing an increase to mortgage rates, both on the variable and fixed side right now.
So maybe it makes sense, Matt, to kind of go through, because we've been getting a lot of questions from people who are either shopping for a product or they already have a product in place. So maybe we can just go through the various types of scenarios that an individual might find themselves in, and start like what should people do if they're in an existing variable rate right now?
Well, but Adam, if maybe even before we go there, we've been having a lot of conversations with people about this moment as being an opportunity on the mortgage, on the borrowing front, right? I guess maybe we should even start there. Is this an opportunity to either reevaluate your situation in your mind, right?
Oh, for sure it is. And I think that ties also into Adam's question as well is yeah, there are, anytime you have a massive change like this, it creates an opportunity for review. It may mean you stay the course. It may mean you have to change the course, but there certainly will be opportunities presented to borrowers right now. And it does depend on your situation.
Right, right. So going through those situations, and if you are a variable rate borrower right now, what does that look like?
Yeah, if you're a variable rate borrower right now and you've got a decent discount, you're a happy camper. You know, we issued some variable rate commitments last week before, actually it was a week and a half ago, before the second half point rate drop at prime minus 1%. So those people are paying 1.45% now on their mortgage. So if you're in a variable, you are happy.
That is incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's variable is a great place to be. So if you're in a variable right now, you're just going to want to ride that out. Don't foresee prime increasing anytime soon until we turn the corner on recovery and it becomes necessary to put the brakes a little bit on. So I think prime is obviously going to stay low for a while. And if you're in a variable, you're going to want to ride this out.
What about on the fixed front, Ray? If you're an existing homeowner and you have a rate, say you got it a year and a half ago, it might be 314, 339, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that creates an interesting opportunity there for people. If you're in a fixed rate, I think this is really where there could be some potential to save. So the advantage to fixed rates rising is if you did decide to break your existing fixed rate mortgage, your penalty will decrease, right? So fixed rate mortgages tend to have a penalty of 3 months interest, the greater of 3 months interest or an interest rate differential. And when those fixed rates rise, the potential for that interest rate differential decreases. So you potentially have a cheap out to your fixed rate mortgage to jump into a variable rate mortgage. So I ran a scenario for a gentleman today who was paying 3.49%, looking at getting him out of his fixed rate into a variable at prime plus 0.2, so 2.65%. And the net savings to him over the next 3 years were upwards of $13,000. Granted, he had a larger size mortgage, but that variable rate savings right now is substantial. And as an aside, or I guess forward looking, there is eventually the credit spreads on these fixed rate mortgage products as we get into recovery, you can expect them to decrease. So looking back at our mini recession from 2016, you know, we had bond yields that are twice what they were today in the spring of 2017, and fixed rates were still down about 2.39%. So the credit spread decreased dramatically. So you can expect as we turn the corner that liquidity issues will ease, banks will be a little more eager to lend money to get back to the status quo, and those fixed rates will drop. The advantage to a variable rate is that you can lock into a fixed rate at any point in time. So if you're in a fixed rate that's above 3% right now, you may want to look at what that means to break that in terms of your costs, what sort of variable rate you can get on the other side, and then keep an eye on those rates as time moves on and potentially lock in going forward. But I think there's a big opportunity there for current fixed rate borrowers to save some money.
And in terms of penalties, I know you outlined exactly how they're calculated, but I don't know if you have it in front of you, but say the client you were running numbers for earlier today, so he's saving $13,000 by moving from his fixed to a variable. What was the penalty in that situation? Was that with the penalty that deducted off? Or?
Yeah, no, that savings includes the fact that he had to pay a penalty. And if you give me a moment, I can tell you that his penalty was $7,254.95.
Wow.
So you're basically paying $7,200 to save 13. Save 20, I should say.
Is that most people reaching out to you right now for potentially refinancing? Are people in fixed rates looking to offset the penalty versus their savings with a variable rate?
Well, we had a very, an all too brief window where you know, say March 11th, we had fixed rates at 2.39%. And there were a lot of people scrambling to get out of their fixed rate mortgages into a lower fixed rate mortgage because, Prime had yet to drop by the 1.5% it has. So there was a mad dash to get into those really nice fixed term rates, which the window was about a week before rates started increasing and very quickly. So a lot of people have reached out on that. And a lot of people have felt like they've missed the boat because now fixed rates are back up to between 2.84 and 3.19%. So not a whole lot of savings there on the fixed side. But if you're moving into a variable because it's dropped so much, that's where you create the opportunity for savings there. Because you can get into a lower rate, you can maximize those savings while maintaining the flexibility of a variable. And, you know, I think Dustin's been on here spouting the virtues of variables, which has historically been fantastic. You do have the ability to lock in. So when we do turn the corner and prime starts to rise, you do have that ability to lock into fixed rates. So you're never going to time the bottom, but if you can get close and lock into fixed rate as those go up, that might present another opportunity for you.
So just thinking about a new borrower out there then right now, What's the advice? Somebody calls in, they want to talk about what they should be getting, what type of product. What's your advice right now?
Without seeing their situation in general, my advice is going to be variable. Very like, as I'm going to steal Dustin's line, life is variable, your mortgage should be as well. And the statistics support.
Is that actually Dustin coined that? That seems like he's very good at coining things.
So. He may have stolen it from somewhere, but I can't say it without giving him credit there. So, there are some merits to that. So anybody getting into a mortgage right now, I would suggest you go variable. A, it's much lower than the fixed rate. B, it provides you a lot of flexibility. And in these uncertain times, I think flexibility is key.
And the fact is right now risk seems like it's at its highest, without knowing what the future holds, but we are at the moment of great uncertainty and the crisis of liquidity in some respects, right? So you'd assume that those over the next while that those fixed rates are going to come down.
I think that's a fair assumption, and you can refer back to a 5-year bond yield, the Canadian government 5-year bond, and you watch it coming out of recovery, and you can chart fixed mortgage rates against those bond yields, and you can watch the credit spreads decreasing. So now past performance isn't necessarily a predictor of future, but I think it's a pretty good guideline. Obviously, this is a once in a century type experience that we're going through right now with this pandemic. But it's a fairly safe bet that we will return to normal at some point in the future here, and those trends should mirror closely what we've seen in the past coming out of recessions.
So Ray, we're in a very expensive market in the Lower Mainland here. A lot of people that have probably purchased quite recently that are feeling very stretched. Obviously, there's the potential of layoffs right now. People concerned about their financing, concerned about making their mortgage payments. What if you're a stretched borrower right now? What are your options? What should you be doing?
Yeah, if you're a stretched borrower, you really do have options available to you. And I think first, if you have the ability to refinance, if you've got the equity in your home, if you need some cash flow freedom, I'd look at that option before it becomes too late. As we talked about, there is risk with mortgages right now. A lot of lending comes down to exceptions, and those exceptions just aren't happening right now. So making hay while the sun shines, like actually, getting in before you absolutely need it becomes necessary. Banks aren't known to help people when they're down and out. Banks are known to help people when times are good. So I would set up a refinance or a home equity line of credit or something, extending your amortization, freeing up some cash flow while it's still possible. Failing that, if you're at the point where you've been laid off and looking at other options, the government and CMHC and banks have introduced a payment deferral program. So that program is something that could be available to you. It is on a case-by-case basis. It is something where the lender will allow you to defer your mortgage payment for up to 6 months. You've got to prove some hardship, you've got to prove necessity for it, but it could give you a 6-month window to free up a little bit of cash flow and ease the pain of this pandemic and this crisis.
So mortgage deferral, can you talk a little bit more about that, Ray? Because my understanding is if you're interested in deferring your mortgage, you're talking with your lender as opposed to your mortgage broker in this circumstances. But can you talk a little bit about what mortgage deferral looks like, potentially a little bit about the process, but also about how it impacts not only your credit rating, but also your relationship with your lender. You know, I've talked to a bunch of people who had big investment plans for the next 2 to 5 years. And they are considering deferring right now and wondering if there's, you know, going to be a note on their file 2 years from now when they go to get an investment property type.
Yeah, definitely. And that's a concern. And the cold hard reality is, you know, I'll touch on the credit piece first here. Equifax and banks automatically report to Equifax based on their systems. I think it's naive to expect that even if you do have the permission of the bank, that there aren't going to be some cases where there are mistakes in reporting. So my advice to people is if you are going to go through this deferral program, be prepared down the road to have to correct some issues on your credit bureau, because very likely, just based on sheer numbers alone, like we see mistakes on credit reports all the time. And we have to do broker inquiries and help people fix them and navigate through that. This is unprecedented. So I think it's reasonable to expect there will be some credit reporting issues. I also think it's reasonable to expect anybody who goes through that in the future, when you're having your credit looked at by a lender, they're going to understand what's going on. So my advice is a couple things, is make sure you get it in writing from the institution that you are able to defer your payments, get confirmation from them, write everything down, make notes, save it in a file, because at some point you may have to deal with that directly with Equifax, and having that support is going to make your life easier down the road.
But just so I understand, we're concerned at this point with mistakes being made on credit reports. Yeah. But as I understand, if you defer your mortgage, it's not going to be noted on your...
That's correct. It is not supposed to be noted. If the bank agrees to defer your mortgage payment, it should not impact your credit report. It should... The process there will be deferral, capitalize the interest payments, and carry on with your life without reporting a missed payment. I think the reality will likely be different, because I think there will be mistakes made on the bank side of things, and I think it's important to be prepared for that down the road. So it should not impact your credit, but my advice is be prepared, because it might. Hopefully it doesn't. Hopefully it goes all according to plan, and they put the measures in place to make sure that your credit's not impacted by it. But I do think there will be some mistakes made. I think it's important to have that data backup, that confirmation, so that you can fight it appropriately. Might cost you a little bit more time, but you know, if, for those that need the deferral, it'll be worth it in the long run.
And what are your thoughts on this idea that, you know, hey, I have two mortgages currently with TD, hypothetically. TD says, oh, no problem, we'll defer your primary residence for 6 months. In your experience, should there be concern with, even though it doesn't go on your credit, any note on a file, any sort of long-term implications of taking up the bank on these offers?
I don't think that should be a concern at this point. I think everyone's in agreement here that these are extreme times. This is a unique circumstance, and it calls for extreme measures. And so if you're allowed to defer your payments, I don't think that's going to impact you in any way, shape, or form, creditworthiness wise, down the road.
So one other question here, just because we've covered existing borrowers, new borrowers, stretched borrowers. Can we talk a little bit about investors specifically? So people that have, say, 2 or 3 doors in Vancouver, you know, these people might not have been stretched, but are potentially highly leveraged with some potential issues with collecting rents. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on how they should approach this environment?
Yeah, my thoughts on that would mirror basically my thoughts on the deferral program in general. So I'll circle back to that, because I think I missed touching on that initially. Is that deferral program is designed for cases of need. If you were laid off, if you have suffered a decrease in income as a result of business slowdown, if you're a landlord and you're a homeowner, maybe your tenants aren't paying rent, those could all be cases that demonstrate need for this deferral program. That is going to be reviewed by your lender on a case-by-case basis. So what this program is for people who need relief. What it's not is a universal program that allows everybody and anybody to miss mortgage payments. So this program, while it is a deferral, it's not payment forgiveness. So it's something that you can capitalize the interest for the period of time your mortgage is deferred. But at the end of that period, your payment will adjust to reflect the increased balance, because they have to maintain the existing amortization. So I ran some numbers for this just to give a quick example. and you're looking per $100,000 of mortgage based on a 25-year amortization at 2.99% rate, you're looking at about $14.51 per $100,000 increase in payment after you come off the deferral for 6 months. So not a massive impact, but it does maintain that amortization. It does free up that cash flow for you. So that program is, I think it's going to be crucial. There, you asked about talking to your lender, talking to your broker earlier. You're probably not going to have much success getting in touch with your lender right now. Unfortunately, their call centers were just not designed to handle the tens of thousands of inquiries for each lender that have been happening. So be patient, reach out. I do recommend talking to your broker, know your options. Lenders have online portals as well that you can go into and make requests there. So get in touch with your broker, see if you can get that set up. They can help out. We can help out, and we're happy to. That is, you know, I think we're all in the same boat here. Helping each other out is important. But with that payment deferral program, I think what's important to note is when we talk about liquidity, you know, one of the issues that lenders are facing right now is unnecessary deferrals. If you're able to make those payments, I would encourage you to continue making them. It's kind of like taking a handicapped parking spot when you know there are handicapped people that need those spots. Like if you don't need the benefit of that program, you making your payments is going to help everyone else out get through this a lot quicker. By not making your payments, we're adding to the liquidity crunch. We're putting the strain on our lenders. We all know they post billions of dollars of profits, and that's, you know, that's their business model. But at the end of the day, it is important to keep making those payments if you're able to, because I do think it will help facilitate recovery a little bit quicker. If people aren't taking advantage of that where they don't absolutely need to.
And just to circle back though, because a lot of people will be thinking about kind of those in need as people looking to keep a roof over their head. But it is 100% accurate that if you're having trouble collecting rent on a property, that you can defer those investment property mortgages if the need is there.
Yeah, if you can demonstrate the need, yeah, for sure. I mean, if you're a landlord, you got three houses and your tenants aren't paying you and you can't make your mortgage payments, that to me is a safe basis for a need. You know, unfortunately, the lender will be the one that makes the call on that, but I think that demonstrates a need.
What about people, investors that have bought properties recently who will be completing on them and will have a challenging time finding a tenant in this current state? Would that possibly qualify as well?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly possible. I think it depends. It will depend on the applicant's overall assets and fallback. I think that's a big thing that's going to be looked at is, you know, not having a tenant in and of itself, I don't think is 100% basis for need. I think it contributes to it. If you don't have other credit facilities or means to make those payments, in addition to not having a tenant, I think that demonstrates a very clear need. And you know, at the end of the day, if it's going to come down to you not being able to make a mortgage payment or deferring, you know, banks are being very kind. They're being very humanitarian at this time. And I think that's what we need is looking at things like we're helping each other out, because that is a big part of how we're going to get through this. And banks are no different. And they are being very compassionate with this kind of thing from what I've seen so far.
So speaking of getting through this, Ray, you've been on the show before, and this is something we do to everyone in the hot seat. predictions. So you were around for Spanish flu, right? That's what we're drawing on. But if we can talk about, we're all locked in here on Zoom. What does this look like? 3-6. A year out, month, 3-6 months, a year out. Where do you see the market?
Yeah, this might be the toughest prediction for any of us right now, because there's just so many unknowns in it, and it is something completely new. I myself tend to be a pretty optimistic human. You know, I think Canada, pretty proud to be Canadian. I think we've weathered storms in the past better than most, whether it was the subprime crunch or the mini recession we had in 2016. I think our population density is lends itself well to being better able to contain this whole virus and pandemic. I remain optimistic. I think for us, I'm hoping it's going to be a shorter term, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 months, getting back to normalcy sooner than most. The economic impact of this is going to be big, right? I mean, Canada is not an island. We do rely on, in particular, the US and China and other countries for trade. So I do think there's going to be a slow period of time for us. But I do think we're going to get back to business as usual quicker than most. And I'm looking forward to hopefully a busy fall market. I mean, demand was bursting through this spring, early spring. We had pushed it to the sidelines with various measures previously, taxation, policy changes, stress tests, and so on. So the demand in Vancouver for real estate still does exist pretty strongly, and I don't expect it to go anywhere. I think it'll rebound quickly once we get back to business as usual.
Ray, I'm just curious because, I mean, you're dealing with multiple files at any given time. Are you seeing a lot of people that qualified 2 months ago that no longer qualify today? And are you seeing a dramatic increase in people calling and saying, well, you know, I've just been laid off? Or has it been fairly marginal?
I have to be honest, at this point, it's been fairly marginal. I've taken a handful of calls from past clients who've been laid off, in particular service industry, hotels, restaurants, entertainment. But not nearly as much as I thought. Now, we're still in the early stages, so that may yet be to come. So I'm happy with how it's been so far without having to. I think that's tough. The last thing we want to hear is friends and colleagues losing jobs and going through financial hardship. So I'm happy for those that are still faring well. What was the other question as far as
people that were, so I think what Adam was getting at is kind of where the demand. So there was in the first week of March, we had heavy demand, right?
Yeah.
I wonder what happens to that demand. I agree with you that the demand was pushed to the sidelines for a long time. I wonder how much of that demand goes away because they just can't, they don't have a job.
Yeah. I think there's some of that. I think, you know, consumer spending is pretty good at rebounding. So, you know, again, uncharted waters here. So it remains to be seen how this all plays out. But consumer spending historically has been pretty quick to rebound overall. For people who were able to qualify a couple of months ago, I haven't seen a lot of that yet either, where I have seen some people, you know, dental hygienists, for example, that are short-term out of work, people that aren't emergency services, that, you know, if you were to apply today, there were a couple that wouldn't necessarily qualify or be approved. But overall, what I'm seeing for the most part with the files I'm looking at is a fair amount of stability with a lot of the refinances and switches and transfers into low rate mortgages that we've done. It's all people that are maintaining their employment, whether it's government employees, self-employed, people that haven't been monumentally impacted as yet by this thing. So I take that as a positive and hopefully that continues and hopefully we can ride this out and not be too impacted by it.
Well, once again, I feel better.
Dr. Ray. Good bedside manner.
Okay. It may be completely naive. You may call me in a month and my tone may vary dramatically. But as of now, I think positivity is key. And you know, our minds always go to the worst possible place. And rarely do we see the worst case outcome. It almost never happens. I'm going to knock on wood as I say that. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, things tend to lie in the middle somewhere.
So Ray, how can people find out more about you and what you're doing?
And before you answer that, Ray, you're putting out, for those of you who are not on your list, you put out very useful information about the mortgage market on a consistent and regular basis. So, yeah.
And videos, easily digestible videos.
Thank you. Yeah, no, I try to keep it simple and not use terms that aren't well understood or if I do explain them. So, I'd be happy to talk to anybody. My email is ray@themortgagehub.ca. You can find me on my website or on Facebook, you know, raymacklem.ca. I encourage people to reach out. I'm happy to have any conversations and really just help. I think that's the one key takeaway from all this is I think banding together and helping each other out is going to make this situation a whole lot more tolerable and palatable and get us through it a lot quicker.
Yeah. And I just want to echo that. I think the biggest thing to do right now is, if you're one of these borrowers we talked about, it's probably worth having a call and just seeing if there's something that you can help out with or rework for someone to make their case a little bit better, right?
Well, yeah.
I was just going to say $15K nearly for the gentleman you're talking to this morning, right?
No, he's rather pleased with that. I just encourage people, you know, talk to people you trust. I'm happy to answer any questions. If you want to get more information about your scenario, I mean, I'm a numbers guy by nature. So, you know, the numbers will usually tell you the truth. And, and give you at least an answer or point you in a direction. So I encourage people, reach out to people you trust, have those conversations, and most importantly, know what your options are. It never hurts to know your options. You know, they may not be here for long. So I encourage people, understand those options, know what it means for you, and know what the next steps would be if you want to go down that road. You may or may not want to go down that road, but at least you got the answers and you can make an informed decision.
Maybe we'll leave it there. Dr. Ray Macklem, thank you so much.
Not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
Okay, guys. I'll call you back later on the House Party app.
Sounds good. Look forward to it.
See you later.
Cheers.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with mortgage broker extraordinaire Ray Macklem.
Always enjoy having Ray on the program, Matt, and he's clearly saving people money. So if you are somebody that wants to reevaluate your mortgage and try and make a decision as to how to move forward, and you think there might be some savings for you, just reach out to Ray. He can help you.
No doubt about it. Ray's a really bright guy. Honor roll, 1986, Maple Leaf Elementary. I remember it well. Yeah, we've been working with Ray for years, and he's helped so many of our clients. He's a great resource, great tool. Don't be afraid to reach out to Ray. But what else do we got, Adam, before we go?
Matt, we have one more episode coming out on Friday. We can't wait for this one. It's going to be phenomenal. We have best-selling author, and when I say that, I mean New York Times best-selling author, John Barry, who wrote The Great Influenza, which is basically the book on the Spanish influenza, is going to be on our program talking us through COVID-19 and discussing, of course, all of the implications politically, economically, and socially that we can expect.
Yeah, it's a great conversation as well, so stay tuned for that. We are putting out more content than usual. We'll have the March stats for you on Friday's show for sure. And if you want those to your inbox or anything else we're putting out, please do head over to our website, VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where all of the resources we have and all of the podcasts live online forever.
For sure, Matt. So why don't we cut for today, and we'll see everybody next Friday.
Stay safe. Stay home. Talk to you on Friday.
2,000 Spaces for Radio. Subscribe today.